everybody, and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. My name is Mike Bloom, talking about this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. But in true fashion, considering this week of RuPaul, I want to bring in my crew, my own Drag Race crew, to talk about this episode as per usual. First, let's welcome back to the podcast someone who may or may not have been bringing up a Tumblr page dedicated to Candyland characters as Drag Race queens throughout the course of this entire week, Liana Boris. Liana, how you doing this week?
Oh my gosh, I'm doing great. Okay, speaking of Candyland, so I'm going to be Queen Frostine for Halloween, unless I can get Alexis Michelle's Halloween costume, but otherwise, I'm going as the Candyland character.
Are you referring to this week's Halloween costume or her entrance look Halloween costume? We'll talk about that.
Those are the same look, yeah?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But I'm so excited to bring back the man that is currently Jovia laughing right now. We missed him so much last week with all the mayhem that ensued, everything pilot-wise and otherwise. Please welcome back to the podcast, Brent Wolgamott. Brent, welcome back.
Thank you. What a week to be gone. I can't believe it. I have to tell you guys, like, I feel like I'm on The Amazing Race and someone just gave me a U-turn because I was at the happiest place on earth, which is Disney. And now I'm at the happiest place on earth again in RuPaul's Drag Race. So I really didn't move much.
My much more R-rated version of the happiest place on earth. And you're dealing with a mouse on two separate occasions between Mickey Mouse and Nino Benita Brown dressed as a mouse, speaking of entrance looks.
I know, Brent, right?
Before we get into this week proper, I mean, we gotta know from you, give us all the tea, your opinions on everything that happened with Valentina at the end of last week's episode.
Well, the thing that really struck me the most was that it was Valentina's to win, and I don't understand how she couldn't see that. If she just came out there and did a passable lip sync with a passable sort of set of moves, she would have been fine. I mean, Nina was ready to go home. They were through with Nina. It was over. And somehow she managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. I mean, that's really what happened from my point of view. She decided to keep the mask on, which she had to know was not going to fly with RuPaul. I mean, how can you think that that's okay? And then to give her lip after she says, take it off. And this reminds me of the United passenger who's the cop said, get off the plane. And he's like, no, I don't think I want to. Like, no, bitch, you get off the plane. Like that. Like if RuPaul says, take your mask off, take your damn mask off. Like I could see RuPaul's anger getting like more and more visceral as it went on. And then she finally took the mask off. But by then it was over. We all knew that Valentina didn't know the words. I think, you know, again, I have told you guys many times, RuPaul is a producer on the show. The producers talk to RuPaul. The PAs talk to RuPaul. I'm sure RuPaul knew that Valentina didn't know the words. And she was like, I'm just going to embarrass this bitch because I expected more from her. The fact that she doesn't know the words, I'm going to make her show the fact that she doesn't know the words. I didn't really think that she deserved to be in the bottom because I did feel like Alexis's overall look and performance was worse. And I think, like, you know, the bottom two has always been about past performances in some way. You know, people think about past performances when they're putting people into the bottom two sometimes, at least Rue does, from my opinion. So I wouldn't have put Valentina there, but once she was there and she didn't know the words, I felt like it was a fait accompli. Is that what it is, Mike? A fait accompli? I think that's right.
I believe anyway, so, yes.
Yeah. Anyways, and she was out. Girl, bye. Yeah. I mean, it's just such a disappointment because I love Valentina and she could have won. She could have been, Mike, it's like The Godfather. I could have been a contender. Like, she could have been a contender. And she just threw it away by not knowing the words. I don't understand. I really don't. And
I'm
then
sorry.
I'm sorry. And then I listened to her after the fact. And I read the interviews that she did, and she basically said that she had a little bit of a Nina Benita Brown moment where she just like froze and gave it away. Like she has all this opportunity in front of her and she just decided to like shit on it. And I get it. Like I guess that happens, but I was really disappointed to see that it happened to Nina. Liana, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's okay. First of all, I just want to say now I want to start using I'm having a Nina Bonina Brown movement.
Yeah.
Moment all the time. But also, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the United analogy, but I would have loved it if Rue had just taken off her Louboutin and gone and like beat Valentina. Like maybe that would have completed the whole analogy.
If they brought in the season 7 queens from Glamazon Airways and had them drag Valentina off stage.
Yeah, right. Right? Exactly.
What I was going to say, the thing you guys don't know is that the guy who got dragged off the United flight, he gambles at our casino, and I know him, okay? And so I know all the tea behind the scenes. Aha! So when I heard it was him, I'm like, oh, of course. Of course it was him. Of course he was the one who was like, look at, who looks at a cop and says, no, I ain't gonna get off the plane. Anyway, I'm done. It's fine.
This is our momentary dalliance into News AF.
Well, y'all talked about Candyland last week, so what? I can't talk about politics this week?
Looking back to the nonsense, I will satiate our commenters at the moment, Brent, by saying that I could have been a contender is actually from On the Waterfront, not The Godfather.
Oh my God, yes. Sorry. Oh, that's terrible. Edit that out, Mike. Come on.
All right, I'll make sure to edit that out. I won't edit it out. All right, so let's talk about, you talked about Nina. Nina is really going to be one of these centerpieces of this set table for the dinner that is episode 10 of season 9. And it starts right after Valentina's very shocking, very emotional elimination. And I felt like for a second, you know, we had turned into a Drag Race rerun in the first 5 minutes, because guess what, guys? You know, Nina Brown is doubting herself and it's a little bit of an Eeyore. Liana, what did you think about Nina in this first segment before the credits?
Shocker. Oh, my gosh. I guess I'm kind of over it, but I think it kind of dawned on me this episode. Look, she's really going through something serious. I mean, I think that she really does suffer from depression and she's trying to pull herself along. And it's not, you can't just say, oh, just go out, make friends, go be happy. Like, why are you depressed? That's like not a thing. Mm. You know, I mean, I took anatomy, took physiology. I've studied brain chemistry. Like, depression is real. And so on one hand, I get where Sasha is coming from. I get where Trinity is coming from, that they're over it. Peppermint's over it. But I mean, she's clearly dealing with something. And so it's really hard. I want to be bitchy and complain, but I guess I feel bad.
Well, if you don't want to be bitchy and complain, I'll complain for you, because I'm really sick of it. I really am. I've never seen in the history of RuPaul's Drag Race, I'm going to make a declarative statement. I have never seen a queen who had so much love and admiration and respect and people just like absolutely wanting her to do great. And just like, she's taken all of that and just thrown it away. And maybe she didn't mean to do that. Maybe, you know, maybe she really is depressed and she really has some issues going on. I can't read her mind. So I'm going to take her at face value, but nevertheless, her actions on the course of this show have just made me turn from a major fan of her, where I was like living for her in the first episode, to the point now where I don't even like it when she's on my screen. Like, I want to fast forward when I see Nina Benina Brown. That's how bad it is. And it only got worse through this episode and then Untucked. Like, it was just terrible, and I couldn't wait for her to get kicked off the show. And of course, we're going to talk about it at the end during the lip sync. She's still got to make it about Nina Benina Brown and her feelings. Oh my God. I got
Well, it's interesting because I think there might be some people who in this first segment are saying, you know, what is the edit trying to do? You have these confessionals from Sasha and from Trinity saying, I can't deal with this anymore. Like you said, Liana, you know, I do think that there is something larger with this idea that I think Nina has been fighting with this. I think it's separate from this whole excuse that she threw out earlier about how like competitive the Atlanta scene is. I do think there's something legitimately going on with depression there. And some people might be saying, you know, how dare RuPaul's Drag Race try to vilify her by doing it? But then you get into like something that is Untucked, which prides itself on being completely unedited. And you see the queens are talking for like 10 minutes, pretty jovially. You see Nina just lying prone on the sofa, and then she sits up and says, well, I'm going home, so this will be the last time you see me. And I can sympathize where they're coming from, as bad as that is to say. It's tough to, like, I can imagine it's tough to sort of be in that situation. And yes, it's hyper-competitive, but it seems like it really has been kind of a RuPaul's best friend race season where everyone seems pretty cordial with each other. And then, I mean, she really is the Rachel Dratch Debbie Downer here. Well, Nina will step in and she'll be like, well, for example, for this opening segment, she says, well, you know, I'm sad Valentina left, but it's because she was in a group with me. It's tough to stomach, especially after something as big as Valentina leaving. It almost comes across as making it about yourself, which I don't think Nina meant.
Yes.
But at the same time, that's the impression that we're getting.
Yes, that's the impression that we're getting. Everything's about Nina. It's all connected to Nina. There's some conspiracy theory. Liana, you called it last week, where she needs the tinfoil hat to sit in the corner and wait for the UFOs to come and take her. Like, I mean, she can find a way to make it about herself. When last week wasn't about herself, and she couldn't even revel in the victory of like advancing to another round. Here's the thing. I wanted to say this really quickly before I forget it. I think that it's more than what you guys are saying. I think that it Look, is she depressed? Yes. But I think that there's something more at work here where Nina Bonina Brown has realized over the course of the last few challenges, of the course of the last few episodes, that she's not going to be the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race. I think that it dawns on the contestants at some point, you know what? I thought I was going to be a contender. And she has admitted on social media that win in the first episode was a bit of a big tease for her. She thought big things were coming. Okay. And then as things go on and you end up more and more and more in the bottom and you're barely safe sometimes. And I can't even remember the last time Nina Bonina Brown got a positive critique. She's realized I'm not going to be the winner. These queens are better than me. And so when that realization hits you, you have to be a professional like Trinity and deal with it. Now, I'm not saying Trinity is not a contender. She is. But she's a professional. And Nina Bonina Brown, I'm so angry I can't talk. She's not. She just doesn't have that professional vibe where, like, she's like, you know, oh my gosh, it's time to lip sync. I need to be an entertainer and go out and entertain. No, I'm gonna choose to make this about me because of my feelings. Well, okay, but you're still going to have to own the fact that we're going to judge you by your behavior, and I just can't with her right now. I'm so with Peppermint on this. Like, I'm just over.
Oh, my goodness.
Really
the untucked moment where Trinity was, like, yelling at her and was like, this is your responsibility. You need to go out there and perform. Because she was like, oh, I'm going to give up. I'm going to give up. I loved Trinity in that moment. She was like, this is not about you. There are people who look up to you. You are a big sister or a big brother to somebody. And it's your responsibility to go out and show them, even if you think you're going home, that you're still going to perform. You're still going to kill it. Oh, my goodness.
And I know we're getting ahead. But I said what I said about Nina, about taking all of that, you know, love and admiration and just throwing it in the toilet by the end of her run. On the other hand, you have somebody like Trinity, who I was sure was the villain of the season coming in. I would have bet money on it. And here I am at the end. I am all in. I am with Liana. I am rooting for Trinity. I love her. She's amazing. She's so great. She's professional. She hits her mark. She's determined. I mean, everything about Trinity. And the funny part is that if she doesn't win for like two episodes, she's like, it's time for me to win. Mm-hmm. Like, I need another win. Like, she's like an addict and she needs a rush. Like, I need another win. Like, let's get it done. And then sure enough, here she comes.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Oh, also, wait, sorry to go back to the whole, Mike, the thing you said about Nina making this about herself. She would definitely find a way to be like, I made Valentina keep that mask on. I'm the reason why she went.
Absolutely. Yes. You know, she everything. I was the one who made Eureka do that split that caused her knee to pop off. It was all about, I did it. I'm the one that caused all these events in motion. And so I must have my fate befall me and leave this game. But we're definitely putting the cart before the horse here. Let's get to the next day. Let's get to this challenge. It is our requisite makeover challenge of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9. We alluded to it at the end of the previous podcast. This year's makeover challenge is making over the people behind the camera of RuPaul's Drag Race. Six crew members of the Drag Race crew that vary in terms of experience, but have all worked behind the camera at some point. Brent, on the onset of this challenge, what did you think the potential was going to be?
At the onset of the challenge, I thought the potential was going to be meh. Once the challenge began and I saw the queen's reactions to the fact that they were going to get to make over the crew members, I was all in. Mm. I was 100% all in. They were so excited. Sasha, Alexis, Shay, like the joy that was on their faces that they were going to get to make over these guys who they've been working with, who we never see throughout this entire season, was just, it was palpable watching it on television. I was instantly all in. This was my favorite episode of the season. I loved this episode. Everything about it. There was no Debbie Downer guy. I know we have Nina Bonina Brown, so we don't need no Debbie Downer guy. There was no guy who was like, well, I don't know how my friends at home are going to think about what me getting in drag. You know, like, I mean, it was all positivity and love, and everybody loves drag, and it was just great. So I'm all in for this episode, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Liana, what'd you think about this challenge?
Well, I love the makeover challenges, although I can't help. I've made this joke, I guess, a couple of weeks in a row now, but the budget, because they spent all their money on Lady Gaga, like, okay, we can't afford to bring anybody in, so we're just gonna, this is part of your job now. Okay, come here, PA. It's like, you're gonna get dragged over. I'm really excited for the ball look next week, because I'm sure it's gonna be something like, oh, this look was inspired by furniture we found sitting by the side of the road. I guess they already did the trash.
Come on. Well, actually, spoiler alert for the next like 15 seconds. Tune out if you're spoiler phobes. I believe the look next week is supposed to be inspired by the Village People.
Oh, see? Yeah.
All right.
Well, is that a... do they have to pay for that? Or do you think that is... this is inspired by... oh my gosh, on 30 Rock, when they did the songs that are you don't have to pay for. What's that called?
Oh, you're talking about the public domain.
Yeah, public
you think
domain
the Village
League.
People is the public domain? Bitch, they're still alive. What are you talking about?
I know. I wasn't saying that they were public domain, but that's what they should
I'm
have
losing
done.
My mind,
this
Mike.
This is public domain week.
Oh, well, the YMCA is technically a public domain, so you were close.
Aha.
All right.
Yeah. So any thoughts about the challenge as it progressed?
I wish we had been able to see more of the them rehearsing for the Click Clack, which is I absolutely love that song. And so that would have been nice to see because you get to see their dynamics. And it's always fun to see the queens interact with people. Although, you know, they got to, you know, like Brent, you were saying, they know these people. I mean, when Sasha is talking about Duncan, Sasha's like, oh, this is my Duncan makeover. And he clearly, you know, he talks about their interactions with them. So it's interesting to see, you know, people that they know. These aren't strangers. And so that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yes, I think that's why this challenge was so much fun, because they knew them and they have talked with them before. They obviously have had interactions with these guys in the past where, you know, Trinity admitted in Tuck, well, I've had a crush on Rizzo for a long time. And I'm like, oh, okay, so now I get it why Shay and Sasha put her with Rizzo. You know, like, I get it. I understood where they were coming from. I understood why Sasha took, what was the guy's name that was with Sasha? I forget his name.
Duncan.
I knew his... Duncan, yeah, sorry, Duncan, yes. He was so much fun. I just loved him. It
yeah,
was so great.
I mean, yeah, I completely agree with you both. I mean, it's interesting that Rue says this is maybe, even before the runway, her favorite challenge ever. And I think we'll talk about the looks on the runway. I don't know if it necessarily created amazing looks, but just from a pure conceptual perspective, I love this challenge. And Brent, you really hit the nail on the head by saying that we've had makeover challenges in the past, you know, We've had the married couples. We've had the veterans. Last season, I think, was the Little Women of LA. And so this is something that's been a commonality. But like you said, I think one of the downsides of bringing in people that don't necessarily know the queens or that the queens don't know is that there is that awkward sort of introduction period. And you have those people that occasionally say, like, oh, I won't do this. I refuse to do that. But here, everyone is kind of game. And you hear about it in Untucked and in the walkthrough as well. How much these five crew members specifically love this show, but they come from such different backgrounds. I mean, Sarge is a veteran. Duncan has two children. You know, Aaron even says, you know, tatted to the nines. He says, hey, you know, if I get more money to go on to another show, I'm always going to come back here. And it's so interesting. You know, last season, All Stars 2 had the literal family makeover challenge, but this was almost like the Drag Race family makeover challenge in that, you know, Rue talked in this entire episode about the fact that the crew always feels like a family, but it really showed here where, you know, a lot of these crew members have learned as they vocalize in this episode what the drag scene is from watching this show. And so it's really cool to see both their mental and physical transformation represented over the course of this episode. I do have to ask of the five or the six. So we have Sarge, the camera operator, Aaron, the art coordinator, Rizzo, a PA, Brady, an audio guy, Josh, a PA, and Duncan, the associate director. We've dropped a couple names before, but Liana, who was the highlight for you among the six?
Ooh, I mean, I have to go with Duncan. Duncan was hilarious. You could tell him and Rue have known each other for so long. They have a real connection. Watching them interact was gorgeous. Watching Duncan and Sasha interact. Also, though, Duncan and Sarge, and they're like throwing shade at each other. That was great. I have to say Duncan is a standout for me.
Mm-hmm. Brent, what about you?
Well, two of them were really the standouts to me. One was Sarge. How could you not love Sarge? Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like Sarge could go to a drag club tonight and entertain. Like, he was that good. I loved him on the runway as Wintergreen. And then the guy who was with Alexis, Ryan Stardust, what was his real name?
Brady.
You know, Mike?
Brady.
Brady. He was so interesting. Like, didn't he say this was like his first season on the show?
Mm-hmm.
And he was so appreciative of the queens and what they do. And he even had the little Alexis like double eyebrow where he had like the purple on top. It was really, really fun. And he was all in. Like that was the thing, that they were all in. All of them were really, they wanted to do really good because they had related to these queens. Mm-hmm. They knew them. They didn't want to let them down, and that came through. There was nobody who was like, whatever. Oh, you know, it was just, there was a lot of angst on the couch when they were looking for the results.
That was so true. Even Josh, who seems to have the personality of a pumpkin, was so supportive of Shay. He was like, I don't want Shay. I don't want Shay.
Speaking of Halloween.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it was great.
I agree with that. God. Yeah, I mean, I have to put in my pick for, it's probably between Duncan and Sarge for me. Sarge might have displaced Sarge from Survivor Vanuatu as my favorite reality TV Sarge. With just, I mean, as soon as he put on the wintergreen wig, we'll talk about it, but he killed on the runway. And Duncan, it's so funny. It reminds me of like, if you're at summer camp and like this, you look up to this like assistant counselor the entire summer, and then there's like one fun night where like the assistant counselor becomes a camper or something. That's what it felt like here, where it seems like, I don't know too much about the production side of it, but I believe that, you know, when Rue's away, Duncan as an associate director sort of runs the floor when, you know, Rue and the main directors aren't around. So I feel like they get a lot of touch points with Duncan. Duncan's one of the bigger names. And I know Sasha was a little concerned about, you know, all we really see is stern, serious Duncan, but Duncan, so shady. This one moment in Untucked, when they're talking about, like, you know, the lives of drag queens, and Trini said, you know, when I was 20, 21, I had to decide, should I pay rent or should I buy a gown? And Duncan just says from the corner, or should I finish the left cheek? And it's just, he's so good. And it was I feel like it was a big risk for Sasha to take him, considering that, you know, I feel like it could be a shot in the dark with any of them, considering that I don't know if any of these people have, they obviously have immediate access to drag, but not necessarily experience in drag. But that leads nicely into Sasha and Shay, as the winners of the previous challenge, get to together assign these queens with the crew members. Now, it seems like they weren't really going for any set strategy. They just wanted to make as many fun matches as possible. Brent, did you think that they should have utilized any sort of strategy trying to throw somebody under the bus, or do you think the more fun route that they took was fine enough?
I feel like the route that they took was totally fine. Look, I'm the first person to say this is a game, this is for $100,000, but there are so many opportunities that await these queens after the show. The thing that really struck me at the end, and I'm going to jump ahead really quickly, was when Bernina Brown was eliminated, she was like, well, I hope this isn't the end for me. I'm like, bitch, have you not seen this show? Like, once you're in RuPaul's family, you're in RuPaul's family. Like, there's so many opportunities for all these queens. Once you have the RuPaul's Drag Race name behind you, once you have RuPaul's name behind you. So I thought it was a really smart call on Shay and Sasha's part to, you know, no shady business, to just really try to match people up, to have a good time, to put on a good show. You want to earn the fans' adoration and respect. You want people to say, oh, I had a great time watching that show. Isn't that show fun? And I feel like they accomplished that with these matches.
Plus, I think also part of it is when, because they knew all of these people, you know, you would kind of feel bad like pairing certain people up, right? There's no this immediate judgment like, oh, okay, I'm going to pair you with this person. And plus, the fact that Shay and Sasha were just coming off a win too, they have to feel confident kind of in the, you know, what Bianca Del Rio did, where she was like, I'm going to help you. I don't mind helping you because I know I'm going to beat you. And so I also kind of feel like they have a little bit of that like confidence behind them.
So Brent, you said before that this is probably your favorite episode of the season. It's tough for me between this and last episode, which one was my favorite, but I think the commonality between the two is that compared to the first half of the season, we are seeing so much more in the workroom between the walkthroughs and everything else, which makes me very happy because that's what I love about Drag Race. It's not just, you know, okay, you know, post-elimination, credits, introduction of challenge, a little bit of working, then we do the challenge, then the runway. You know, I like to see these queens work and work together and throw a lot of shade at each other. And we got a lot of that this episode. So I guess it's one positive trait of having fewer and fewer queens is that we can focus on that because we got a lot of workroom stuff to talk about. Starting with Nina is paired up with Erin and she decides, you know what, I have this bunny look that I really want to go for. But a little bit of a problem for Nina, she does not know how to sew. Now, aside from, you know, the common argument that we make of what the heck are you doing on RuPaul's Drag Race if you don't know how to sew, Liana, do you think it was a big problem for Nina at the outset to think, okay, let me try to cobble something together right now at this stage in the competition?
Yeah, she didn't sew. She's going to sew two outfits. I mean, I don't know. Part of me couldn't help but think, like, is this self-sabotage? Is she doing this on purpose?
Yes.
Okay.
That is exactly what it
is. All right, good.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's all I got.
I have it written in my notes. It's self-sabotage. It is ridiculous. I cannot believe that she did this. She decides, I know I don't sew, but at the final six, and I have a partner, I'm going to decide to make whip up two whole looks out of thin air, finish them, do the hems, do everything you have to do to a garment, and there's a lot. Fit it, get pads, get makeup done, and teach him how to do this click-clack thing, and walk in heels. give me an effing break, Nino. Like, she was just, again, I go back to what I said before. She knows she's not going to be the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race. She knows her time is short. She's probably going out the door. I feel like this is her just self-sabotaging. You know, maybe is it conscious or subconscious? Mm. I can't tell you, but you could not tell me looking at this that this is going to be a success.
No.
This was like a detour to bottom two-ville from the moment you saw her decide to lay some fabric down and then have him lay on top of it. And somehow that was going to work. I mean, what the F? I don't understand. Like,
yeah, you're not making a chalk outline. That's not how this works.
Well, she might as well, because she was pretty, her, you know, her chances of winning Drag Race were pretty much dead from the beginning of this episode. So she was just outlining the case there.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. She was going to make a hoodie and overalls too.
Yeah, like, no, I don't. Okay. I guess it's sort of like hip hop. Maybe that's sort of the pun she was going for, but I don't know. I mean, we can't really play what if, considering that if Nina was able to make something, I don't know if it would be that great to, you know, put her out of the bottom two, especially considering all the other looks that some of these other queens were putting out there. I don't understand. You know, I think she had a really audacious idea, and I agree, Brent. I think it's up there as to whether or not it was conscious or self-conscious, but at the same time, or subconscious, but at the same time, this is just not a good idea from the get-go to say, something I don't really know how to do. I guess now is the time to start doing it. This is where you want to say, okay, let me pull out these outfits that I have that can sort of match. In some queens' case, maybe they don't really match that much, but let's have these sort of match. Let's fix them however they need be, and then we'll move forward, because it results in yet another outfit from Nino Benina Brown that is the face is doing one thing and everything else is doing a completely different thing. The other big story that we get before Rue comes through is about Shay's partner Josh, who wants to embody Natalie Portman, though it's a little less Black Swan, it's a little more Padme in the Star Wars prequels, because Josh is dying very quickly, especially when it's revealed that he doesn't really get the walking down. Brent, Shay was your winner pick. God. What were you thinking about Shay's chances at this point in the episode?
I love the Shay finally gave me a little shade when she had Josh trying to walk in them heels, and she was like, that's almost like a Pearl walk. Like,
no, that was like, later. Damn. That was Sasha.
Sasha about Duncan.
Oh my God. Did I like that? Okay. Three strikes and I'm out. I already mixed up On the Waterfront and I mixed up Duncan and Josh. Josh is the one who said Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
And
he's the one who's inspired. Yeah,
That's when Shay was like, Natalie Portman, what the hell?
Yeah, Natalie Portman does not match with the Kool-Aid brand.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe I mixed those up. Right? I was thinking about what Liana said, where I keep going back to the Josh as the personality of a pumpkin. I'm like, oh my God, that's so accurate.
I know,
oh my God.
He's so boring. Yes,
because he looks fun. You look at him, you're like, okay, I can make you into drag queen. You got a pretty face. Yeah. Like, this could work, you know? And then nothing.
Oh,
there's just nothing there.
I know. I think with the exception of Rizzo has thrown some shade. I feel like there's always the, you know, the couple like pretty people that everybody's like, oh, I want to make over this person. It's always so much better to go with the non-pretty people because they have personality.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Rizzo for a second? Because I've found
let's talk about Rizzo.
Well, I was gonna say, I found the community is rather thirsty for Rizzo. I mean, I can definitely say that I think he is probably the most attractive of the guys. And we'll talk about the makeover later. Maybe that didn't necessarily translate into a drag look, but I mean, do you feel like this reaction is warranted, Brent? Were you drinking the Rizzo tea, as it were?
Oh yeah, let's just be real. He's fucking hot. I mean, he's amazingly hot. Like, and the fact that he was like really cool with this challenge, like, lends itself to the hotness of him. Yeah, I understood where the community was coming from. The funny part is, I can't really like experience the show with the community. Like, I always have to go back and hear about it, because I work on Friday nights, so I can't watch RuPaul's Drag Race live. So then I have to avoid spoilers. And then I go back and watch it and I try to catch up on, well, okay, what did people say on Twitter? And I could see that everybody agreed with me and Trinity that Rizzo was their favorite. Because, and who has a name like Rizzo?
I was going
to
say,
that's the other thing.
His parents either have to be Grease fanatics or really big Muppet fans. It's really one or the other.
Like, is that his last name? And they just call, like, in the army, they call me Wagamot. Like, I mean, is that his, like, I don't know. I'm not sure how you get that as a first name. I'm not sure.
Oh my goodness.
It's a mystery.
I loved Rizzo. I don't know. Duncan, though, is doing it for me too. So I'd be fine with either one of them.
Yeah, well, and Rizzo, yes. And was Rizzo also the one who was like talking about, you know, gender normativity as well?
Oh,
so he's got
God.
A little bit of
yes.
a brain to go with those looks too.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
He had one of my favorite quotes of all time. Wait, let me find it. I wrote it down. Okay, he said, "You need to be surrounded by numerous different walks of life. Otherwise, you will never understand certain aspects of the world." I was like, I'm in love with you.
Wait, and then my favorite part of the episode, and I'm not going to mix this one up. This was definitely Rizzo. Okay, so he's getting ready to tuck, and Trinity sends him back there. And then, like, it's like, okay, go ahead and get tucked. Okay, bye. 1-1000, 2-1000. You done? Okay, never mind. We're using tape. Cut to Peppermint, who's like...
Like, did you see that? Trinity pulled out like 6 feet of duct tape. I don't know.
It was
what the metrics
I
are.
I think that says more about Rizzo, Mike. I'm
telling that's you. True. That's true. The green monster on Rizzo. I can only imagine. I want to talk about that though, because I mean, I'm definitely on the Trinity train as well with you both. In that she has proven herself not only to be a very competitive queen and a very talented queen, but also funny and, you know, shady as hell. And she is so ambitious. You talked about it before, Brent. It's interesting. I found this on the internet before. I would also almost compare to, I don't know if either of you saw Alexander Payne's Election. The Reese Witherspoon character, Tracy Flick, is almost like Trinity in that she is so ambitious and so adamant that it actually comes off as super endearing or super mm-hmm. hilarious in this tape moment. Because, and I loved Rizzo also, you know, being a little paparazzo and shoving aside a camera person that he was probably like having coffee with earlier on in the day for trying to, because you know the camera guy's like, oh, I'm gonna get the good shit on Rizzo right here by filming his penis getting tucked.
Oh my goodness. And Trinity had some amazing lines before she ended up going back there to help him. It was like, you're not supposed to be playing tug of war. It's not a wrestling match. I was like, yes, Trinity. So great.
Oh my goodness. Yes. If you guys haven't seen it, by the way, I think I mentioned this before, but Trinity is the one who put up a YouTube video about how to tuck and somehow made it family friendly. Like, you don't see it. There's no peeing. There's no nothing. Like, it's totally YouTube friendly. You can go to Trinity's page and watch her do the tuck. And it's so amazing how she got the angles to like show you what she's doing, but yet she shows you nothing.
Oh.
But she shows you everything. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a really fun video. If you haven't checked it out, I totally encourage you to watch it just for the sheer ingenuity of the camera angles in it.
All right, Liana, anything else about the workroom stuff before we get to the runway proper?
Let's see. Do I have anything else? Sorry, I'm just thinking about Trinity's cinematography. let's see.
Very Art Nouveau.
Yeah, exactly. I liked when Rue came around and was interacting with some of the crew members, because then you can also see the personality of the crews that he associates with. So like Sergeant Duncan, you can totally tell there's a relationship there. And again, I think that just helped with the, like, how endearing everything was. Oh my God. Okay. The thing that Brent, you were talking about earlier where Pearl or where Sasha was like, you're walking like Pearl.
When I screwed up,
what?
Yeah, go ahead. Talk about it again.
Okay. That's when okay. Brent yeah. messed up. What?
Now I can't edit it out.
What was he wearing? That powdered wig and the John Lennon glasses with the Dorothy ruby red shoes. Oh my goodness, it was hilarious. I loved that outfit. That was my favorite look of the whole night.
That was a look.
I think that's saying something for the runway, Liana, if that was your favorite look of the night.
It was very inspired.
All right, let's get to the runway. Our guest judges this week, Emmy-nominated designer Zaldi and Kesha, who has become very notable as of late, not necessarily for her music, but maybe for some other unfortunate legal troubles. Brent, what did you think about Zaldi and Kesha in the guest slots this week?
What I loved about Zaldi the most was he seemed to really enjoy being there, and the Queen seemed to really enjoy having him. Like, mm-hmm. you listened to them in Untucked, and they were like, oh my God, like, I just wanted to hear something positive from Zaldi. Like, I love his looks. Like, Sasha's like, I straight up ripped off stuff from Zaldi because all of his looks are so fine. Like, they really loved it. This is probably a good point to talk about the fact that someone else, it's Maddie Rance on YouTube, he pointed out, which what I have not been able to determine has been the problem the entire time with Rue and Rue's makeup. First of all, love the dress.
Yes.
On point. Can't clock it. Everything about the dress I was living for. However, what is up? It's, you know what? Maddie Rance told me it's the upper lip. If you guys look at Rue, the upper lip is missing. That is what the problem is.
Mm.
Like, there is no upper lip. If you look at the middle of the upper lip, the light hits it. There's like, it's like nude. There's no makeup there. And Raven is doing the painting for this. Raven, get your shit together, girl. I mean, I know this took place like a year ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
She can't see into the future, Brent. She's not that Raven.
That's what the problem is, that there's no freaking upper lip. That is why RuPaul looks different. We're all looking at our TV screens going, what is up with RuPaul? Like, she looked different. What's a girl? What's up? But it's the lip. There's no upper lip there. I figured it out with the help of Maddie Rance. Thank you, Matt.
I thought her makeup looked good this time. No, I'll have to go back and look. Although, okay, not gonna lie, with the dress, I was really hoping for one of those like Chinese or Japanese character tattoo fail situations where Zaldi's actually playing Rue. It's like, yeah, it's got all your phrases on it, like sashay away, but really, you know, it says something else, like, I don't know, like pork noodles.
F you.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I'm under the impression Zaldi designed that dress, right? I would assume so. If you have someone in the room who's a designer.
That's what I got.
Yeah.
Well, what did you think about Kesha? I mean, I know we got the question from Adam Ritta, and it seems to be the case, at least from what we're implying, that I think due to Kesha's troubles with Dr. Luke, I think his name is, from the past couple of years, they weren't able to use a Kesha song for the lip sync, which is an unfortunate sort of lost opportunity. But Leon, any thoughts about Kesha as a judge?
I liked Kesha as a judge. I mean, I don't think that she particularly stood out. She actually gave feedback and they kept that in the show, which is a good sign. Right. I don't know. I love Kesha. I think she's awesome. So I'm always happy to see her. She had the Jocelyn Fox, Courtney Act, like sort of ribbons for clothes thing on. So that was nice. But yeah, I don't know. Not notably stand out in any way.
Mm-hmm. Brent, what about you?
Yeah. I mean, I thought she was fun. I thought she was interesting. I thought she had a different point of view than a few of the other judges, which I appreciated. The fact that wasn't she the one who threw a little bit of shade at Nina Bonina Brown? She was like, I thought the bunny ears had been rained on or something. Yes, girl, living for it. I think Kesha is a friend of Detox, right? Isn't Detox always the one who's talking about, like, I'm a friend of Kesha? I'm pretty sure that it's Detox.
Well, yeah, because Detox did Kesha for Snatch Game in season 5.
That went over so well. I will say, she's more entertaining than Detox's impression of her, which is pretty much damning with faint praise. But still, I enjoyed her. I also want to give major ups to Ross's really dorky but really lovable heels bit. That's why I love Ross Matthews on this panel.
Oh my God. It was like he borrowed David Blaine's assistant. Was like, okay, you need to lay under here. I need your leg.
Wait, and then that's a good segue for me to tell you guys that my favorite part of Untucked was when they were walking in and Trinity is like, I didn't get a leg. And they were like, yeah, you did. It's one right here. She goes, oh, well, I didn't want one anyway. It's okay. They are like, well, why are you complaining? She's like, just to complain.
I love her.
They're like, you had one last week. She's like, no, I stole that one. I think she was implying that she like took someone else's leg glasses, hers, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, we're talking about when they walk in the workroom, they have these like, they have cocktails in regular glasses, and then they also have these like legs that are like as long as like what Ross had, you know, in miniature size, and you can drink out of those if you want. And Trinity's like, I don't want one. I'm just complaining, just to complain. I love Trinity. She's so mean.
Christmas story realness with those glasses. All right, let's get down to brass tacks. Let's talk about the looks themselves. And we can also, they touched upon the click-clack lip-syncing. From what I saw online, I don't think we have any extended footage. We see some rehearsal stuff, but nothing in actual performance. But in terms of the lip-sync, it just sort of got yada yada through. But if you either of you have any sort of commentary on the lip-sync, feel free to put them in here. Let's start with what ends up being the winning look. Trinity Taylor and Glitifidaze, a.k.a. Rizzo. Rizzo is properly tucked in this situation. Liana, did you feel that this look warranted the win here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it did. I think that there's this super strong family resemblance, which you always have to look for. You want the looks to match, but not to be completely the same. So if you're checking all of the boxes, I think that Trinity really had that. And I mean, she was able to make Rizzo's face look like Nicole Paige Brooks. So props to her. I thought that was really impressive. And I thought that they just looked really comfortable together. Oh, and the other thing I was going to mention is the padding. You know, Trinity doesn't pad, and she either made pads or brought pads for Glitifidaze, which is also a great name. And so I thought that she executed it really well.
I don't know if we're looking at the same thing. Look, I think she deserved the win. Okay, I'll tell you that. And I think she deserved the win primarily because of what we couldn't see, which was the click-clack performance. Obviously, the judges were just gaga over it. I mean, she must have done something. She said she said earlier in the episode, I'm going to crack the whip when it comes to Rizzo, okay? And I think she totally did. Like, they put together an entire performance that was rehearsed and choreographed compared to the other queens who you heard Sasha say in Untucked. They had barely rehearsed at all. So obviously, Trinity came for the performance. And I think that, more than anything, and the strong family resemblance is what won her this challenge. And the fact that they had a reveal, which other queens did not have a reveal. And that's important because Trinity is a pageant girl.
Also, Glitifidaze looked, it wasn't just, I think, the click-clap performance, which we didn't really see, but he looks so comfortable on the runway, walking in those heels. I mean, compare that to Bae Coulee, who looked super awkward, which could have been just because, you know, like, she couldn't see because of the hair. But she had these tiny little kitten heels on, whereas Glitifidaze comes out in not quite stripper heels, but, like, you get it, girl. Those are at least 3 inches. So I give props.
I'm going to call it, since it's Josh, or since it's Josh, gosh, I always mix up Josh and Rizzo. Since it's Rizzo, I'm going to give him a pass and call him a he, because 3-inch heels is not easy to do. However, I do not know what you're seeing here when it comes to the pads. I don't see any pads whatsoever. Maybe in the boobie, but that's about it. I mean, that looks as straight as Mike Bloom. Like, I mean, seriously, what is that? Like, there is no pad.
Not a good thing to compare it against, Brent, just saying.
I don't know. And when, by the way, that wig looks like it came right out, right off the shelf. Like, I mean, had anything been done to it? When she turned around, I was like, it looked like it came out of the box. Like, I think there's a strong family resemblance, and I'll give her credit for the click-clack performance and the reveal and the heels. And everything, and the tuck, which, by the way, I love it. The genius was like, my drag girl has to have a good tuck. I was living for that. However, she needed some pads, because Trinity does not pad. I feel like, and here's the other thing. Trinity has a lot of, like, contouring and silicone and things in Botox in her face. Rizzo has a really manly face. And the fact that, like, she painted basically the same way, I feel like lends itself to a really... hard, like, that kind of a look, you know. I felt like it looked like a man there. It didn't look like a woman. So again, she gets the win, but I wasn't as impressed as Liana.
It's interesting, because I would agree with both of you in that I would give her the win, but maybe it speaks more so in the fact that, again, I love the concept of this challenge. I don't know if the execution necessarily measured up, even in comparison to other makeover challenges that we've done in the past. I don't know what the indicating factors were, but I thought this was fine. I can't say I don't know how many swimsuit looks that Trinity has done over the course of this season. So, I mean, good on her for picking something that had such a strong family resemblance that she didn't get clocked for it. But I guess if you compare it to, you know, even though Shay sort of fails on the execution, she goes for more of a glamorous dress and not something like a swimsuit. But again, give credit for the strong family resemblance from what we saw of the click-clack performance. I thought it was good. I don't know. I don't have much to say about the makeup, but maybe it was the nose contouring. I don't know. I was looking at, like, it was Rizzo's face was looking a little like Magnolia Crawford-esque with, like, how thin his nose looked. But that just might be his nose in general. But I mean,
yeah, I could see that too. I saw the nose contour as well.
So. Yeah. Looking at him, though, he's got a big nose. So. She was trying to contour that down.
Now I know if I was ever in drag, now I know what I would need to do if I was with Trinity. So I really can't. I let he without sin cast the first stone in that regard. So I really cannot. But that being said, I do think this was the strongest look overall. And again, I think, as you said, Liana, a big indicator in this challenge is family resemblance, something that a couple of these queens will not necessarily measure up to this episode. So I have to give Trinity all the credit in the world for doing that. First and foremost, even if the look was not necessarily to die for. And of course, she did a reveal, which is super fun. Let's move on to someone who did not fare so well, Shay and Bae Coulee. Brent, what did you think about everything? Kerfuffle, wig, bra strap, everything with Shay and Bae here.
Well, I mean, what do I feel about this? I think that Shay was probably pushed for time, like they all were. It's amazing to me because I'm literally playing it back right now. And I thought that the wig came undone and came, you know, into Bae's face when she was walking down the runway. But that's not true. The minute they hit the runway, the minute the lights are on them, the wig is already in Bae's face. That's how fast it was. So, again, I don't know. what's going on. It feels to me like she didn't put as much effort into Josh. But on the other hand, Josh probably wasn't putting as much effort into Josh. So I don't know. Maybe that's what Shay got stuck with in dealing with Josh. I mean, he was definitely a pretty face to work with and somebody that maybe she had the hots for. I think she admitted that in Untucked. But the fact that there wasn't really a lot of personality there means you're going to have to depend on the look, and the look wasn't right, and that's why they ended up in the bottom two.
Yeah, I mean, the makeup, which you can't actually see on the runway because the hair is in the way, but you can see it later in the episode, was actually really good. So it's unfortunate you couldn't see it, but everything else was kind of a mess. I don't know why I was getting flashbacks, probably just because they were wearing black and white, of like Alaska from All Stars when she comes out and they do the black and white look. I think this is better than that, and she didn't have like the gimmick of a big flag thing, but yeah, I don't know. Oh my goodness. And just Bekele's walk in those kitten heels was so awkward, and she was holding that muff thing like it was like a grocery bag she was afraid was going to rip open. I mean, it was uncomfortable.
Now, the question is, if Bay was partnered with Alexis Michelle, do you think that Alexis would yell at all the other queens for not telling her about the wig before going out onto the runway?
Yes.
Well, speaking of Alexis, I do want to ask, sort of in line with Shay here, Shay's going to wind up in the bottom two ultimately. Liana, do you feel that was warranted, or do you feel, much like Ross is sort of positing here and the judges' feedback, that someone like Alexis should have been down there over her?
No, I was 100% on Michelle's side. Like, I could not have yelled at Ross Matthews more from my couch. I was definitely agreeing that, look, yes, is the outfit... it was the attention to detail. And that's, I think, one of the things that I, as annoying as Alexis can be sometimes, what I really appreciate about her is there are times when she has this such strong attention to detail, and she does work really hard and puts in all the effort. Is she the best? No. Is she going to win? Probably not. But I think in this time, the sloppiness of Shay needed to land her in the bottom two.
I will say that I will disagree with you, but Alexis is not the one that I would have put in the bottom two with Nina. We're going to get to it. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Oh, I have a feeling that I might know who you're thinking about, but maybe I'll be surprised.
Get a breath mint, y'all.
But yeah, I will say that I am happy that, again, like I said before, with Trinity's critiques, that she went for something that was not a basic swimsuit, that she went for something a little more elegant, a little more complicated. But as a result, I mean, Michelle sort of outlines it here. It seems like she was sort of focusing on herself, and whether that was due to her own circumstances or the fact that Josh sort of seemed out in his own little pumpkin patch is another thing. But, you know, unfortunately, it sort of corroborated in this result. And even Shay on the runway is saying, you know, when you have a voiceover saying, "Ooh, I screwed this one up," you know, it is not going to.
Yeah, but
well.
It was just the bra strap and the wig. I mean, the wig was like, if the wig had been right, I feel like there was a strong family resemblance, a drag family resemblance. That's the dictates of the challenge. And the fact that the fabrics didn't clash, the fact that they looked like they were from the same drag family, the makeup was good when you could see it, when the wig wasn't in the way. I mean, I would not have put her in the bottom two. I really wouldn't have. And I felt like she was having a good time. But
I don't know, part of it is just that performance and that stage presence. And I think we didn't get to really see a lot of that, but they just looked so uncomfortable, and that has to translate, you know, when like to the judges. And I have to imagine that that's part of the reason why it landed her in the bottom two.
The funny part is that Shay got to pick first.
Yeah.
And she picked Josh. And I'm sure if she had to go back and do it again, she wouldn't have done that, because he's pretty, but he's not the most fun. You want a fun queen, because as we're going to see with some other people, if you have a fun queen with you, it doesn't matter what you look like, because they're just going to give you a pass anyway.
You're really throwing the mints out there, Brent, for us to savor later on.
Yeah.
Well, let's move down the line then. Let's move on to Alexis Michelle and Ryan Stardust, which sounds like a name of an extra from the movie Hair, played by Brady. Alexis was able to stave herself out of the bottom two, but does wind up in the bottom half of the queens here. Brent, give me your thoughts on Alexis and Ryan.
I thought Alexis fulfilled the dictates of this challenge beautifully. I mean, you say what you want about Alexis, and I've not been a fan of her, but I think the makeup was right. I feel like the wigs and the way they were placed and the way they were styled looked like they were from the same drag family. The outfit, I know we're making jokes about the fact that it looks like it was same. Is it the same thing from the first episode when she came into?
They're different
fabrics. But it looks a lot like it.
So this looks like the fupa. Okay, that's what it was. It looks like when she had the fupa when she walked into the workroom, but it looks much better this time. It doesn't look the same. The padding is right this time. And Ryan Stardust, I feel like, looks like her drag daughter. Mm-hmm. I mean, they look like the same drag family. And that was part of the challenge. Now, is Ryan Stardust the most effervescent queen on the runway? No, she's nervous. You can tell when she's walking, she's looking down at her feet. It's so funny. She looks exactly like a guy in heels for the first time, where he's not looking outward. He's looking down at his feet to make sure he doesn't fall. But he was sort of endearing in that way. And he was smiling and having a good time. And I feel like Alexis, she did great on this challenge. I would have had her in the top three, actually.
Yeah, I could see her in the top three. I mean, I think that she in this challenge was the definition of safe. I mean, she did all the things right. I don't think there was anything that really made me go like, wow, this is really an amazing standout look. But I absolutely think that she deserved to be safe.
Well, the thing that was pissing me off was the judges and Michelle were clocking Alexis. And again, I'm not an Alexis fan, but I'm gonna come and defend her here, because they were saying that's a really basic look. First of all, it fits perfectly mm-hmm. on her drag daughter or her drag sister, or whatever you want to call it. The fact that it fits perfectly and it's basically a bodysuit, that is pretty freaking amazing. Other queens came out there and they just had a basic ball gown. Mm-hmm. That's all they had, was an evening gown. They just slapped it on and then that was it. The fact that she actually had something that was fitted and padded and heels, like, I was there for it. I mean, she put a lot of effort into this. And she talks about an In Untucked where she had to sew it. And again, this is very Alexis, where she's like, I would have liked points for having sewed it perfect. Well, girl, you don't get points for that. You get points for how it looks. You don't get all the, we don't give you extra credit for, you know, all the effort that you expended behind the scenes. But again, it come back to the dictates of the challenge. I feel like she did it well. They were clocking her for being basic. Okay, fine. But look at everybody else on the runway. Yeah. I felt like four mm-hmm. out of the six queens were pretty basic. Even Peppermint, with her queen, mm-hmm. didn't even match, but she's basic. I mean, it's a basic dress. I'm sorry, it is.
Well, overall, I really like this look. I also love the little the hooker nails and the comments about, like, those nails make you look like a hoe. And they may have eight eyebrows for just the two of them, but I think that this outfit is something that I can appreciate, especially now looking at it more detail. And especially, yeah. Oh my God, the glitter eyebrows. Love them.
Love the glitter eyebrows and the belt. If you look at the mm-hmm. belt, like, Ryan Stardust is cinched for the gods, and that she has that belt around her waist. I mean, that is a straight guy with kids right there, you guys. Like, look at that guy. Look at that cinch. That is really, really good. I can't believe I'm so impressed by Alexis.
I was confused, though, because in the deliberation with this whole Alexis versus Shay debate, Michelle compares toilet paper versus a paper towel. I was confused as to who was what and which I'm supposed to prefer in that scenario.
Yeah, I was also very confused by that. You know, like, I make a bunch of analogies that don't work too, but that one completely missed the mark.
I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't understand it. Basically, they were talking about the wrong queen. I felt like they were stuck on this whole Shay versus Alexis, like, who should be in the bottom two with Nina, and they were looking right past the answer that was there all along. can we just talk about it? Let's go in order.
Speaking of toilet paper, let's talk about someone who is also trying to rep something that's affiliated with cotton. Nina Bonina Brown and Ariana Bonina Brown, aka Aaron, the art department guy. Little bunny Fufu getting bopped on the head here, or clocked on the head by the judges. Brent, what did you think about this look that will ultimately put Nina in the bottom two and send her home?
The funny part is that someone on Twitter said, was Nina throwing shade at Valentina because they did an Ariana Grande song for the lip sync, and then she came out and named her drag sister Ariana? Like, was she playing her there? I don't know. There's a little bit of conspiracy theory there, I know, with Nina. Anyway, I thought this was pretty half-assed. I mean, it really was. I mean, I go back to the first episode of the season, when we were praising Nina Bonina Brown, because we were like, the face is right and it's interesting and it's something you want to look at and it's the star of the show. And the fact that we didn't clock her little peach outfit, that it's a very basic dress that she had on at the time, we didn't clock it because we said, her face was the star and that's what we wanted to see and focus on, and we loved her for it. Fast forward to the 10th episode of the season, and it's the same thing, except really shabbily done. I mean, I'm going to try to give her a pass because she was doing two people. On the other hand, this is the same queen who decided she was going to whip up two whole swimsuits out of scratch. So I guess she was wasting time on that. This looked so, I couldn't believe she had a day and a half for this. And this is what she did. I mean, I'm going to give her props, because the things that she does on the runway with the prosthetics and the interesting makeup is stuff that we're never probably going to see again. I mean, we've been through 9-10 seasons of Drag Race, All Stars, Drag U. We've never seen a queen like Nina Bonina Brown. Again, this is why she had so much praise and love at the beginning of the season, because we were like, wow, that's interesting. And that's something, you know, Alexis, like, let's just take Alexis for a second. Alexis is just a drag queen. She puts on makeup. She does dress. She has a wig. She's just an average run-of-the-mill kind of drag queen. Nina Bonina Brown is not that. She gives you something that you have never seen before in this kind of makeup. But the fact that she's not able to cohesively put it together on the runway time after time is what's landing her in the bottom two. You look at this look, I mean, there was no connection between the makeup and the bunny ears and the rest of the outfit. I think someone in Untucked or some other Twitter somewhere said that even if she had just put on like a bunny tail, a cotton bunny tail.
That's what Shay was saying in Untucked. Ross said it, just put on a cotton tail or something with the gloves.
I've heard it a couple different places. Yeah, that would have probably saved a lot of it. Would she have ended up in the bottom two? Probably, because the makeup itself was not as neat as it could have been. Even Nina's own makeup, I thought, was pretty shabby. Mm-hmm. Kesha read her about having the bunny ears that looked like they got rained on, which I thought was pretty hilarious. Actually, her drag sister's bunny ears look a lot better than Nina's bunny ears, which is interesting. But again, this was just a look that was very disjointed. It didn't make a whole lot of sense. I'm trying to be fair to Nina because she is giving us stuff that we don't see from other queens. But if you can't cohesively present it together in the time allotted, it's just going to be a fail. And this was.
Yeah, I think that that's a really good point, because we talked about, okay, if she has all the time in the world to put together these looks, I'm sure that the makeup would have looked so much better. There may still have been the disconnect between the outfit. But, you know, if she can't do it in the time allotted, then it just, I mean, I'm just looking at the makeup. It just looks so bad. And I do appreciate
so rough.
It's so,
yeah.
rough.
So rough.
The creativity that she brings is so inspiring. It's so cool. And, you know, I mean, I really hope that she's going to continue to be an active part of the community. But yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, and I think it definitely shows. I think you made a great comparison, Brent, with looking back on the peach from the first episode and even her mouse entrance look, where people are saying, you know, wow, her aesthetic is going to be fantastic. And she's produced some really interesting things. I'm thinking about the alien princess. You know, the naughty nighty look, which was essentially her being topless, was again like pushing the boundaries that Sasha Velour likes to talk about. But I think this is an unfortunate representation of just the game almost degrading her aesthetic, that I think Nina has been just gotten so up in her head and so paranoid that it's driven her almost into this downward spiral, where she's been in the bottom three out of the past four challenges. And I think it's just something that she couldn't pull herself out of. And I think compounding on top, now here's another person to do things for. It's just, it didn't work. I'll echo what you and everyone else has said, in that, you know, the body just feels like an afterthought. Talked about last week about if we just cut off her head and put her in a box, I think it would get more glamour than the whole look. And I will carry it over to this week as well, because it stinks that this is going to be the one to send her home. But that being said, I can absolutely understand it. And even like the actual concept of the bunny face, we'll see when she lip syncs later. I don't know how much effort she was putting into that lip sync, but you couldn't see, speaking of upper lip, we couldn't see her lips really move as a result of that bunny mask. So it didn't really work well for a lip sync either, which doesn't really make sense considering that she probably knew she was going to lip sync, unless it's that self-sabotage bell ringing itself again. But we'll talk more about
ding.
Yeah, we'll talk more about Nina in a little bit. This is where Rob's bell would be fantastic. Let's move on to somebody who almost won the challenge, or at least was up there. Sasha Velour and Donatella Velour. Liana, what'd you think about Sasha here?
Yeah, I really like Sasha this week. I could definitely see her winning. I think if it hadn't been for kind of the charisma and, I don't know, I thought the look that was put together by Trinity. But this kind of high fashion, she had the concept. She had the love velour thing, which I was like, ooh.
Michelle was ready to press that props button.
Yeah, don't bring out a prop, especially because she was holding it. I was like, what are you carrying? Like, is this supposed to be a purse? And then, but the letters look just like pasted on. I think I actually probably would have preferred it without it. But you know, like, they're going for the brand. They're going for the sisters. They definitely looked similar. And so you could definitely absolutely see the family resemblance. The outfits are similar, but not too similar. Very high fashion. I don't know what Duncan or Donatella Velour's face thing was, but I kind of like liked it. It was like, I'm constipated, but also I'm high fashion. So you could go for that.
Yeah, I really liked Duncan here. Donatello was giving me face on the runway, y'all. Face for the gods. And it was everything. I loved it. It was interesting. And I'm going to disagree. I know that, you know, Michelle has clocked props in the past, but she clocks props that don't work. And I feel like these props did work. I feel like it was very in theme with the episode. You know, this is our stage manager. We love him. Mm-hmm. We're all about drag. We're trying to show the world drag. You know, everybody loves drag. And the fact that she had the love, and then they were absolutely in sync trying to make it velour. And it came up seamlessly. The fact that she didn't screw it up, like, I was with her. I thought it was interesting. And again, it's like, you go back with Nina, Sasha's very into her props, and she gives me something on the runway that I really haven't seen from other people. And so I thought it was very interesting in this runway to give me, oh, that was the girl who did that. You know, that was the girl who did this. You know, that was what I remembered after watching the episode, was this was Donatella's face and the overall high fashion look. I mean, she looked put together on the runway. On the other hand, I will say that Sasha was very smart in putting Donatella in this sort of, you know, high fashion coat that I'll just say it's very forgiving as far as any padding issues that might be there. And again, that's why I give Alexis so much credit, because she didn't hide her drag queen in that sort of thing.
Yeah. That's very true. I was almost thinking about like Rocky Horror Picture Scientist with the look they were both going for between the glasses and the big hair. Because it looked like Donatella was kind of wearing a lab coat. But I think the matching was super smart in that, you know, you have the pink gloves with this printed dress on Sasha, and then you have the printed coat with the pink dress on Donatella. So it's like, you know, that's a great way to match without being a direct match. It's interesting. They talk in the judging, or Ross says specifically, that he feels like Sasha is finally letting go. We see, you know, Sasha in confessional talking about, like, this is the most fun that I've had in a challenge, despite the fact that she was nervous initially picking Duncan because she felt like we've only seen Duncan being very serious. Liana, I know we don't usually have like a drag race official winners edit, but how do you think this bodes for Sasha's chances moving forward with these statements?
I guess it bodes well. I think that you see kind of what's being painted as like a growth narrative, sort of, but it's really is just kind of happened like these past few episodes. I think that Sasha is a queen that brings something unique. I think she's definitely going to be in the final three, but I still think that Trinity and Shay are going to be the top two contenders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brent, last week we, Liana, Lita, and I talked a little bit about our personal picks for the top three at that moment. Do you have any personal picks right now?
I'm sorry, who is this Lita you speak of? I don't know her. Sorry. I agree with most of what you guys said. The fact that Sasha and Shay and Trinity and Peppermint all seem to be destined for the final four. I can't imagine that there's a way that Alexis could get her way into it. I mean, there is one way, that if somebody really screws up the final five challenge and Alexis is safe, if she's not even in the lip sync, then there's a way that somebody else could go home. And I think that would probably be Peppermint or Trinity, but I don't know. Shay was lip syncing this week. I don't know. I think anything can happen. You never know in RuPaul's Drag Race. We've seen it this season. I never would have guessed that Valentina would have been eliminated last week. And I know that had a really weird circumstances, but I never would have guessed it. I never would have guessed that Shay would have ended up in the bottom two this week. So you never know with Drag Race, but I do think that those are the top three and four. And I agree that Peppermint might have a way to get into the top three. Do I think she can win? It's tough. She is the first openly transgender contestant in the history of Drag Race, so she has a thumbtack next to her name, an asterisk, and I mean that in the best possible way. Like, you know, you're like, oh, I know her. Like, she's the one that I'm rooting for. You know, there's everybody has a queen. Like Sharon was the spooky queen, and Chad was the share queen. You know, there's always somebody has something, you know, you remember who they are. Peppermint is the first openly transgender queen in the history of Drag Race, so that's how you remember her. But she's become so much more than that. I love the fact that she is such a great drag queen. And the confessionals that she has been giving me have been giving me life. Like, I love me some Peppermint. If you haven't seen her on YouTube, by the way, she's actually equally funny on there. But I think she could make the top three. But I do agree that Shay, Sasha, and Trinity probably have the inside track.
Well, you were speaking about Peppermint. Perfect segue into the final queen, Peppermint and Wintergreen. Brent, you have been alluding to this throughout our entire runaway chat here. Go all in on this duo here.
What the hell was this? How is this a strong drag family resemblance? The makeup doesn't even look the same. Like, okay, this is seriously, I can't even with this, guys. Okay, what is she doing? I think this is where, you know, Peppermint by herself looked great. Wintergreen by herself looked great. Together, girl, bye. Like, what was that? I can't even look at them, like Michelle said, in the same frame. The fabric doesn't even look like it's from the same universe, let alone the same drag family. I honestly think that Wintergreen, it reminds me of The Emperor's New Groove, when, if you guys have ever seen this Disney movie, when Yzma goes by the house where the llama, who is the emperor, and the villager are staying at, and the wife looks at her and says, "Tell me again how you know Pacha," and she's like, "Why, I'm his step cousin's niece's brother's great aunt." Twice removed, of course. Like, that's what Wintergreen looks like. There is no way that she is related in any way to the drag family of Peppermint. She got by solely by her presence on the stage and how funny she was. And I guess that's something, but that had nothing to do with Peppermint. It was all Sarge. So the fact that they didn't even consider Peppermint, they had her in the top. I couldn't even believe it. Like, she should have been in the bottom. There was no drag family resemblance whatsoever.
Ugh. It's so funny because literally nothing matches.
No,
the makeup, nothing. The eyebrows don't match. The earrings don't match. Necklace doesn't match. Fabric doesn't match. Even the long sleeves aren't even the same type of long sleeves.
No, it's like, just they're matching on the pure concept of a long sleeve, and that's pretty much
oh my goodness. Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, maybe they had similar amounts of fabric and weight. I don't know, like, what the similarity was. And I don't understand, though, like, really, you're going to go with a brown houndstooth fabric? Like, oh my goodness, with long sleeves, and then this dress that I think came from Kohl's that they forgot to cut the sleeves on. I just don't, oh my goodness, I completely agree with Brent. This, like, just did not match. I don't know, maybe that's what she was going for. She was like, if literally everything is different somehow, like, that'll show attention to detail. I don't know.
Oh, and then Peppermint has this, like, cinch corset around her, and Sarge doesn't even have it. Like, I mean, what is this? Oh my god. Yeah, and they were, and Mike, they were considering Alexis for the bottom two. Girl bot. Like, what was this?
I really don't understand what the judges were thinking here, because, again, if the main piece of criteria for this challenge is a strong family resemblance, there was nothing here. And we've seen queens clock for this before. You know, Katya almost did last time, and it's actually a similar situation where, you know, if you remember, Katya had sort of like the Woodstock look, and her mother was dressed like she was from Mother Russia, but Katya had a story to go along with it. Here, judges even admit that it's been buoyed completely by Sarge. You know, had Sarge not tried to flirt with Kesha, Peppermint could have wound up in the bottom too, for all we know. But it's insane. It's insane to me that this is the main crux of the challenge. And I love Peppermint, and, you know, you lavish a lot of praise on her,
too.
Brent. It's fantastic, but, like, I am disappointed with her here because she did not live up to the main point of this challenge. They did not look alike whatsoever, but, you know, because she got partnered up with someone who is hysterical and has an amazing persona, especially in drag, she makes her way out of the bottom three.
Yeah, that was what was disappointing to me. It was like RuPaul and Michelle and everybody just forgot what this challenge was about. They didn't even consider it. That's what was so disappointing. The fact that it was Sarge Wintergreen on the runway throwing shade at Kesha when Kesha tried to come for her, and Wintergreen was like, you know, like, I'm looking at you, like, what are you saying about me? Like, you better stop right now. Like, that was funny, and I was peeing myself, but who cares? Like, I mean, that doesn't do anything. That has nothing to do with the challenge. I feel like I'm repeating myself, so I'm gonna stop.
I will also note, thank you to Joseph Campos, who sent us, or Joseph Mercado, my apologies, who's been updating this RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9 confessional count. And it's weird because Peppermint, I would say, was not really seen a lot this episode. She winds up in the middle. I feel like Alexis was seen more, but if we look at the confessional count, Peppermint got 3 confessionals and Alexis got a goose egg. She got 0 confessionals this episode, which is pretty crazy, right, Liana?
I'm looking at it right now, and it's so funny because Trinity, Shay, Sasha, and Nina all got either 7 or 8 confessionals. Then you have Peppermint with 3 and Alexis with 0. I don't know what kind of editing that is. Maybe Alexis didn't have anything bitchy to say this episode, so she didn't get confessionals.
You know that's not the case.
Come on. Who are you talking about?
So we move on into the judging. Peppermint's declared safe. Trinity is the winner. She gets 2 custom gowns from a celebrity fashion designer, David Meisters, I think his name is. And Rizzo won a $2,000 gift card for a renowned suit designer, which is fantastic. Sasha is safe. Nina's in the bottom 2. Gotta love RuPaul's pun here. Your bunny look did not make the judges happy. I was dying at that. Alexis is declared safe, and Shay is lip syncing. They are lip syncing to Demi Lovato's Cool for the Summer. Brent, you alluded to this before, but a clearly definitive knockout on behalf of Shay, right?
Not only a knockout, but I was nervous going into this because obviously we haven't seen Untucked before we watched the episode proper. And Nina was in a, you know, very freeform moving thing that she could dance all over the stage with. And Shay was in an evening gown. And I'm thinking, there's a chance that Nina could just dance her ass off here and Shay could go home because she can't really move all that well. Girl, bye. Like, Shay was serving it. She did this thing where she, like, spread her legs and then popped back up again that I was living for. Like, I was so thankful that she was in the bottom 2 because I finally got to see her perform and she served it. She gave me everything. I don't care who was out there. I think she would have beat him because she was that good. She really did earn my applause. I was like, I stand up and applaud you, girl, because you earned that. I don't care what Nina would have done. She'd gone home.
Leon, are you giving Shay as much of a standing ovation as Brent?
Oh, so it's interesting. I thought that her lip sync skills were definitely good, but I just couldn't help but think back to Trinity in that episode where Trinity was in the bottom and had to lip sync. And I actually went back and watched it, and Trinity has this fantastic quote where she's like, I want to win, I don't care for friends. And Trinity, I think, slays. And that's what makes me, I had put Shay as a front runner very early on, but I think if it really truly does come down to lip sync, I think Trinity would slay Shay Coulee.
I think she would slay her, but you never know what song they're going to get. I mean, didn't Willem get some, like, country song where he knocked out? Like, I mean, you never know what song could come up. So,
that's
I mean,
true.
And remember with Detox and
Jinx Monsoon got the little, like, the... Mm-hmm.
Which was, like, how did that come up? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And I will also say, Cool for the Summer also didn't seem like they really got into it until the chorus. Like, I think one of the things that you expect from a lip sync is really high energy, which is, again, when you get those songs like you mentioned, Brent, or even like You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. When things get a little slower, there's a different piece of criteria. But, you know, Shay wasn't really able to do much until the chorus itself. But I mean, it's tough to compare because Nina moved, what, a grand total of like 6 feet. And I think, again, it shows how much she was sort of resigned, considering that in her previous 2 lip syncs, she was always working the entire stage. Whereas here, like, she moved from one side of the stage to the other and back again. But Shay was making full use of that runway. It's tough because I've been enjoying this season, but I feel like the lip syncs, while they've been have been providing some infamous moments, I'm not exactly living for them. I mean, I love, as you mentioned, Liana, what Trinity did. I loved what Aja did versus Kimora. I love what Peppermint did versus Cynthia. And I love what Shay did here. But I don't know. Do both of you like one-sided lip syncs where someone just does insane stuff, or would you rather have more of a competitive lip sync where people are on the same level?
Well, I think we'd rather have a mix, but I think back to, like, I don't know, like, it was the Whip My Hair, where I did Whip My Hair, with Roxy and Alyssa, where they both, like, absolutely slayed it down. But I feel like you have to have a song behind you that allows you to do that. What was the Natalie Wood song from season 5, where the one queen, she was against the princess. I can't remember her name. Y'all don't read me for it. But she absolutely, like, danced her living ass off on the runway in front of Natalie Wood or Natalie Cole.
Natalie Cole. Like a Dieter Ritz. I forget what
Dieter Ritz. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. I knew if all 3 of us, we could work it out. Yeah. We got it. Yeah. Well, Natalie Cole. and Dieter.
And like, yeah. I mean, one of my favorite lip syncs is Latrice Royale when I think she does Respect. Oh my goodness. It's like, that's just the perfect song for her. And it's, you know, like that is a performance for me that's inspiring. Also the actual lip sync for Your Life, the one that happened in All Stars 2, still that for me.
Shut Up and Drive was incredible.
Oh, it was amazing. That was like the pinnacle of lip sync. So yeah, I want the best of both worlds. I want them both to slay it.
I want them both to slay it, too. I will say that I'm probably strike three and I'm out because I just mixed up Natalie Wood and Natalie Cole. Natalie Wood's been dead for 40 years. Like, girl, bye. What was I thinking?
Yeah, they were going to do a West Side Story because that's what Natalie Wood got her voice dubbed in on.
I need to up my meds. I'm going to go back to the doctor, y'all. Girl, bye.
Oh, boy. Well, Shay gets rid of Nina here. Nina with a final meme-ification of Nina Bonina Brown, Andre Charles. Leaves the runway as she declares, sue me. We've sort of been eulogizing Nina this entire podcast. But Liana, any other final thoughts on Nina as we move forward to the final five?
I mean, I just have this feeling that Nina's legacy on the show is going to have to, it's going to do something with this storyline of just her being in her own head. And I think that there will then be a tendency to forget about, you know, the amazing, unique skills that she brought to her face. Yes. And so I hope that that is something that she can either through, you know, Instagram or social media presence, that that will hopefully supersede this whole, oh, I'm in my own head, I'm sabotaging myself type narrative. So we'll see how that ends up going, because really she did bring something unique and amazing to the show.
You know, Nina says something in Untucked, because at the end of the episode, Nina says, sue me. And RuPaul's like, I think I might. Like, you know, she was having fun with her. And then in Untucked, you see that Nina was talking about, well, I knew that I felt like RuPaul was really rooting for me without rooting for me. Like, you could see it in his eyes that he was rooting for me. I can identify with that, because honestly, when I was on The Price is Right, I knew Bob Barker was rooting for me because he loved me. I'm serious, y'all. I am not being playful. I'm telling y'all, I know Bob Barker was rooting for me. He was, okay? Because these other two people, girl, bye, they didn't even know what show they were on. The fact that I didn't win at the big wheel, that was a tragedy. And Bob was broken. I'm telling y'all. So again, I understand where Nina's coming from, where she's saying that RuPaul was rooting for me and I just didn't want to let her down, and I could see that, and so that gave me strength. So good. Okay, I like that. However, I agree with Liana that I feel like that we're not going to talk about anything that was positive about Nina. We're going to talk about her paranoia and her depression and the fact that she was all boohooing. And by the way, and not to throw more shade at Nina, but if you ever listen to her in a confessional, she literally talks like, well, I don't know if I'm going to be continuing.
That's what made her suffer in the 90210.
I know, and she's so defensive about it. But I'm like, girl, you do.
Yeah, I'm a big slut, and there's so many people in here. She's like the Boomhauer of drag.
And then on Instagram, she was like, well, you know, she just doesn't understand how black people talk, okay? And I'm like, I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think it has to do with the fact that you're talking too fast, because I learned this when I was in speech competition, that I needed to learn how to slow down and enunciate. Of course, I don't do that on the podcast. But, you know, like, outside of this, I understand when I get critiques and people say, you need to slow down and enunciate, I understand what they mean, because I listen to myself on playback and I'm like, I probably do need to slow down and, you know, take it down a notch. But Nina she doesn't seem to be able to accept criticism. I feel like that's an indictment of her. She needs to work on that. And again, I agree with Liana that, you know, it's really sad that you get so much love and positivity and opportunity coming out of RuPaul's Drag Race. And I feel like she really has shat on a lot of that. I really do. Who's going to want to work with this bitch? Mm-hmm. I mean, who's going to want to work with her? Are you kidding me? Like, I mean, I'm sorry.
Still the people that still hire Fifi O'Hara.
I guess.
And throw acid on her face.
The shitty part is that I root for her and I love her kind of drag. And I think I follow her on Instagram. I think she's interesting. But boy, I've said a couple things in the Instagram chat to her. And she can't have it. She cannot handle any criticism. It's like, it's her world. And she's just the only one living in it. It's really sad. I really am kind of sad about it.
Who would have thought that, like, the impetus, the little push that set this whole boulder in motion was her getting denied the role of Black China in Kardashians the Musical? Think about
it.
For the first four episodes, she won the first episode, and she was producing interesting stuff up through Kardashians the Musical. And once she doesn't get Black China, she even talks about it in Whatcha Packin' with Michelle Visage, where she says, you know, once I didn't get assigned Black China, that's where the paranoia started. And so it's so interesting, almost if we rewatch this season, kind of comparing at this point Nina in the first half with Nina in the second half is almost like night and day. And I agree with you.
It really is.
I mean, I am sad for her because, you know, I think we've all been guilty of, you know, having depressive moments or moments of self-sabotage or moments of paranoia. But, you know, the fact that she unfortunately was not able to work past those and be able to bring really positivity and life to this absolutely fascinating aesthetic that she brings that gave her that win in that first episode is very sad. That being said, I cannot wait to see what she brings to the reunion. I'm hoping, you know, I think the golden standard for me is the black and white detox look from the season 5 reunion.
Course. Yes.
Nina might top it. I don't know. Who's to say? We shall see. But I'm really excited to see her in a couple weeks.
No, she talked about not wanting to go to the reunion.
What?
Yeah, it was on an... I think.
Of course.
I know, exactly.
Of course. Okay, so let me... Oh, I gave some positive things about Nina. Let me read her real quick. Because everything's about her. She's got to make it about her. I don't understand why she's got to make it about her. It's not about you, bitch. It's about RuPaul's Drag Race. It's about the opportunity you've been given. It's about the family that you're around right now. That's what RuPaul's Drag Race is about. How can you make this about you? But she still finds a way. She found a way in Untucked to make it about her, where she was like, well, I just want to tell you guys that you don't have to deal with me anymore because Debbie Downer's going to be gone. She even wrote it on the mirror, like, and I'm gonna be out of here. Shay, I know you're probably gonna be in the bottom two with me, but I don't even feel like lip syncing against you because I don't know. And she, again, you could see the other girls rolling their eyes because, again, it's nothing to do with depression. It's all about Nina wanting to make it about Nina. It's about Nina and her feelings. Okay, girl, bye. I'm so the F over her. I can't even believe. Of course. She's not going to go to the reunion, so she says, Liana. I could have predicted that. Why am I surprised by that?
Yeah, I mean,
what did she say? I'm curious.
Well, she alluded to something to the fact like, well, I don't even think I'm going to go to the reunion or something. So we'll see if that actually ends up holding up. But
that's bad for so many reasons. First, that brings even more negative attention onto yourself. Second of all, again, your aesthetic is so interesting that you would kill a reunion look with so much time to prepare for it. I'm sure you produce something absolutely incredible. If you know your Instagram stuff and all this, the stuff that we saw from you before the competition is any indication, and even in a couple weeks in this competition, she really is a fantastic drag queen and artist. So it would just make me sad if she ended up not going to the reunion, but we shall see in a few weeks as we move into the final five queens. I won't dive into it too much, but it looks like we get our ball task next week, which is primarily a design challenge with a little bit of a lip sync in the middle as well that always brings the drama. Liana, going in just from the outset without knowing anything about what the queens are actually going to make, from purely a design perspective, who do you think might be posed to come in fifth place at the end of this?
By Alexis or Peppermint. I mean, really, I don't know. Alexis, and Brent, you said this, is that Alexis is a good drag queen. But that's really what we've seen so far from her. I mean, she is the definition of safe. And we were just getting to the point in the competition where you have to stand out. You know, even though Peppermint and Wintergreen's looks were just somehow completely opposite of one another, the personality that, well, I guess maybe Wintergreen brought more than Peppermint, but the personality that Peppermint has, and even though, yeah, her looks aren't as polished sometimes, but she just brings this extra charisma that might help push her over into the final four. So I think Alexis is not long for this world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, Alexis knows how to sew. She knows how to put outfits together. If she's not second guessing herself, if it's a ball gown challenge, you know, people can flop in that challenge because there's usually it's like two or three different outfits you have to put together and learn a lip sync. I mean, that's usually what happens. I don't know if that's what they're going to do this time, but if it's anything like that, that can be an enormous challenge for any queen. I'll say this, that Alexis is probably in the lane where she's going to have to do something, as Liana says, that's really amazing to avoid being in the bottom two. Because with only five queens there, you could do something that's really actually kind of cool and still end up in the bottom two. And then by then, I think you're going to go home. So she needs to find a way to stay in the top three, really the top two, so it's not even in the discussion, to stay out of the bottom three and make sure that she's safe. Otherwise, because if she's in the bottom two, I think she's out.
I mean, someone might Valentina it, but yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah, don't count on that.
I love that that's become a verb now. We have a Nina. We started with Nina Bonina Browning it. Now we have Valentina it closing it out. So we shall see next week if our predictions are correct as we move ever so closer to having a queen crowned as the season 9 champion. For now, Let us know your thoughts on everything Nina, everything that happened in this challenge, everything Rizzo. If you want to, you can reach out to us on social media. Brent is at One Lucky Gay on Twitter with one spelled out. Liana is at Liana Boras, LianaBoraas. And I am at A Mike Bloom Type. We'd love to hear from you all in the comments section as well on robhasawebsite.com. Make sure you're subscribed to our RuCaps only feed. Only a few episodes left of the season, but if you're not on that train yet, make sure to hop on before it gets into the station. Just search RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9 on iTunes and it should be there. And while you're there, we're appreciative of any ratings and reviews you may leave. And if you're not already, make sure you're subscribed to the General Reality TV Rehap Ups feed. Go to robhasawebsite.com/rehapups. There you can get coverage of the burgeoning start of the Bachelorette coverage. The challenge coverage just finished up, so you can check all that out, including Brent's reactions to the end of Big Brother Canada 5.
Sorry. Oh, like, I have to tell you guys, like, and this is like probably this is not the forum for it, but I'll just tell you guys if you ever listen to that, that podcast of the Big Brother Canada finale got the most downvotes in the history of reality TV wrap-ups. And it was primarily because of me, and I was pretty extra on the podcast. Aww. But on the other hand, you know, YouTube rewards engagement, and the fact that they were downvoting it actually is a positive for the video. So I'm gonna look at that, and I'm not gonna feel bad.
Yeah, don't let the criticism get to you, Brent. Does this make you toilet paper or paper towels?
It makes me toilet paper. Alex Kidwell was the one who pointed that out. He's like, by the way, because Taryn was like, well, a lot of people watched it and interacted with it. And Alex was like, yeah, I got the most downvotes in the history of our show.
Someone's got to be the messy one.
Right. Yes, absolutely. God. Well, messy or clean, we will all be back next week to talk about more Drag Race. To finish things off, do we have a hashtag for people who went all the way to the end of this podcast? I was thinking upper lip watch in lieu of Brent's new epiphany about Rue's makeup.
I like that.
I like that too.
I went back and yes. I looked, Brent, and I think you're right. They're, like, I don't know if the liner's not there or what the deal is, but I'm definitely going to be on upper lip watch next week.
I think yes, we all are now.
That, and by the way, I'm not taking credit for that. That was Maddie Rance on YouTube. I love him. And I think it's Jabbar84, who did, they did this fun recap together. And I was like, oh my God, that's it. It's the upper lip. Like I it was like a Eureka moment. Eureka.
Hopefully your knee is okay after that Eureka moment. And in terms of watch, I will say in terms of the stratification of it, it goes gay watch with Bob and Katya, upper lip watch, and the actual Baywatch film, because I heard it did not do well. But I won't go into that since we tangentialized all about that last week. But thank you all so much for listening. This has been such an exciting season to cover so far. I think the past couple episodes have been really fantastic, and I cannot wait to see where it goes from here. So we'll be back next week talking all about it. For now, sashay away. Bye!